Fasting actually helped them respond to the treatment protocols much better. And there was a patient who was on a diet of carrot and beetroot juice. This is a recorded, evidence-based, you know, research done on a cancer patient. When she was on a diet exclusively of carrot and beetroot juice, her markers completely changed. And she showed a remarkable improvement and recovery from cancer.
Hi, I'm Dr. Dimple Jangra. I'm your podcast host, and I welcome you to A Gut Story. This is a podcast, a platform where we're going to discuss healthy everything. A healthy body, healthy mind, healthy emotion, healthy energetics, and a healthy spiritual journey. We're going to also discuss stories of courage, grit, confidence, discipline, and patience that helped several people overcome tragic events in their life and physical trauma. And we're also going to learn from several natural sciences like Ayurveda, naturopathy, homeopathy, yoga, on how to reset our body back to good health and bring ourselves back closer to nature. Welcome to A Gut Story with yours truly, Dr. Dimple.
Heal your gut, mind, and emotions. And I think if people read that, like heal your gut, mind, and emotions, that sounds like a lot. Like that sounds almost too good to be true. If we were talking about a pill and you were like, hey, take this pill, it's going to heal your gut. It's going to make your mind better. It's going to, you know, put you in a happier state and give you better emotions. Like the line would be out the door, right? First, thank you for writing that. It's fantastic. But second, how are these all connected? What's the kind of infrastructure, the scaffolding that ties the gut to the mind, to the emotions that come from that?
Thank you for reading the book, Dr. Derek. And I really appreciate your feedback. This has been my debut book, and I'm already in the process of writing part two of this book. You know, the kind of review, the kind of feedback I've received from people who change their lives encourages us to research more. And some scientists say the gut includes everything from the mouth all the way up to the colon. So your mouth, esophagus, stomach, even your liver, pancreas, gallbladder that contribute to the digestion process, your intestines, your colon, and even your appendix, by the way. So this is the largest set of organs we're talking about. And this is the engine of your body. This is a fuel tank of your body. The gut provides fuel or energy or nutrients to all the other critical organs like the brain, heart, liver, kidney, intestine to keep you alive. Without the gut, the rest of the organs wouldn't be able to function. Right? So now the primary focus is to fix your digestive health. That's what Ayurveda emphasizes on. That's the first thing they fix, the digestive health. On your neurological health, psychosomatic health, gynecological, gastrointestinal, musculoskeletal, skin health. Everything is impacted by the gut health. If your gut health is poor, other organs are going to become sluggish, diseased, and weak. If you're not eliminating toxins, they will get leaked back into the bloodstream, recirculated back to your critical organs like the heart, brain, liver, kidney, causing a series of issues like blood pressure, cholesterol, fatty liver, undigested toxins depositing in other organs, you know, high creatinine levels, high estrogen levels, you know, leading to PCOS, PCOD, high testosterone levels, you know, leading to hirsutism and hair growth, you know, excessively in women, including the mutation of cells. So we understand that the gut is responsible for all physical diseases that we have. Now, the gut is also called the second brain, directly connected to the main brain through a neurosis that sends messages every micromillion second, right? When the gut is healthy, the gut doesn't bother the brain. But when the gut is unhealthy, it sends distress signals to the brain every micromillion second. So imagine if you had bloating or gas or flatulence, indigestion or constipation, diarrhea, IBS. Would you be able to focus on this meeting or this discussion? No. Your focus is on the gut at all times. You're feeling the discomfort. Okay, that eventually leads to anxiety and stress in the brain. And in the long run, the toxins from the gut, which starts leaking back into the nervous system, the central nervous system, which connects the brain and the gut. When that becomes toxic, it also triggers other disorders like bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, Parkinson, amnesia, dementia, insomnia. These are the toxins being collected in the brain that prevents the brain from functioning at its best. When you get anxious, scared, excited, happy, nervous, butterflies fluttering in the stomach, where do you feel it? You feel it in the gut. When you have an intuition, where does that intuition come from? Turn left or turn right, it could save your life. Are you going to listen to your heart or your brain? or a strategist sitting in your brain, which is from Harvard, or, you know, extremely passionate, kind person sitting in your heart. You listen to your gut. How? Neurons allow you to experience things. So you have more neurons lining your gut walls than there are neurons in the brain. When you remember your grandmother, you start salivating, remembering all the yummy food that she made for you, because that's how you remember her, in the form of experiences, which is stored in your body, and your gut reacts to those experiences by reminding you of how you felt at that point. Gut is the second brain, or the biggest brain of your body. When you take care of your gut, you can take care of your mental and emotional health as well.
All right, we're gonna unpack a few things. I'm going to tell you what I wrote down here. So from what you just went through, to me, it sounds like if we were going through this step by step, what everyone should do, should step one, start to improve their gut health in some way. Then step two are, and these probably would run parallel, but just stick with me for a second. So we got to go through, start putting things in our life that improve our gut health. Start doing things that help our body clear out toxins and clear out waste products. And then step three, create kind of the daily life that allows this to remain constant, to remain consistent throughout our interactions with the current environment. Does that, would you add to that list? Is there feedback on that?
No, it's absolutely right. The minute you wake up, are you hydrating? Are you feeding your health? Or are you feeding your disease? Have to personalize your diet and lifestyle, you know, because one man's nutrition is another man's poison.
So let's go through that now. Let's get to some tactic stuff for all those listening with it. I hope y'all are kind of staying up with this. I love this conversation. So if we start with step one, what's some of the stuff that somebody listening to this can do to start improving their gut health so they're actually kind of getting the nutrients in their body? They're not creating inflammation. What are like your kind of procedures that they would start working through? What are the foods that they should look at? What shouldn't they look at? Let's dive into some of that stuff around gut health.
See, number one is fix your circadian rhythm. The climatic changes has a direct impact on the topographic flora and fauna that you have, right? And every topographic has a flora and fauna that's native to that. Now, if all of the universe is syncing itself to the cycle of nature, why are we not? Are we more superior than the sun and the moon just because, you know, we've created artificial, you know, lights? Without the sun, we wouldn't exist. We wouldn't have the air, the oxygen that we breathe is happening due to the sun's rays. We wouldn't have water. We wouldn't have flora and fauna. We wouldn't have nutrition. We wouldn't have anything. You have to sync your clock to Mother Nature. Rise with the sun, set with the sun. And the meal should be sized based on the position of the sun. And give your digestive health a good 12 to 16 hour break. 12 to 16 hours or 18 hours is minimum. Some people give their digestive health 23 hour break. They consume food only for 1 hour during the day, between 12 to 1 or 12 to 2. And when you give your body that complete rest, then the organs are now focusing on what they should do. What you need to do is stop interfering with the processes that are happening naturally inside. Give your gut the complete break. Elimination is 100% the next.
Yeah. I'll tell you, one of the programs that we do for our patients who fall in kind of certain categories is something that we call a reset, which is a 5-day fasting mimicking diet. So it takes them through this quite low calorie for 5 days, where they can get into a fasting state and not lose muscle mass. So that's one of, you know, once people pass about 50 to 60, to do a prolonged fast where they're not consuming anything, I would be concerned about them losing muscle mass at that point. So this is a beautiful program. And the one thing that everyone comes back with is we've had multiple patients who are like, you know, after I did a series of these, so they'll do like, you know, once a quarter or a few months in a row where the first 5 days of the month, they'll go through it. Many of them will come back and say, you know, I had indigestion, I had bloating, I had diarrhea, I had uncontrolled hemorrhoids. And after doing that, many of these gut health issues have cleared up. There's probably a lot in there, but one part of that is just giving the body the break so that those areas can heal and repair, and they have the energy to do that instead of constantly trying to play catch up. I know you've mentioned it before, kind of eating is causing diseases and fasting is reversing diseases. But it does go to show, like, we do need to be conscious of the timing that we're doing these things and have those moments where we give it a break.
Absolutely. You know, just like how you need to give yourself some space mentally, you need to give your mental health a break by de-stressing, decompressing. You need to also give your gut health a break on a daily basis. And your liver, which is the largest detoxifying organ, also contributes to the digestion process. But unfortunately, because of the complex foods, the packaged foods, the processed foods, you know, the overcooked foods that we're eating, which is very difficult for the body to break down. Look at a pizza. They've shown that the digestive enzymes could not dissolve a burger placed in a beaker for almost 3 to 7 days. The gut is overloaded with this heap of undigested food sitting on it. It's like having garbage accumulated in your kitchen for days together, and you're constantly cooking new food. Your new food is also going to get mixed up with the garbage lying in your kitchen. That's what is happening. The fresh foods you're eating is getting mixed up with all the undigested foods, the heavy metals, the toxins, the preservatives that can last in your gut as long as the food can last on the shelf. So if it can last for 6 months on the shelf, the preservatives can very well last in your gut also for 6 months. So your fresh foods are also getting mixed up with the undigested foods, which is unhealthy and toxic, and they're releasing diseases. They're putrefying, releasing gases, they're rotting, they become a breeding ground for the worms, for the tapeworms. You're literally feeding the disease and creating a breeding ground for more diseases. Fast. The power of fasting is probably one of the most underestimated tools for health. We think we need to eat for health. Extremely beneficial for reversing diseases. In fact, in Ayurveda, we say starve the fever and feed the cold. When a person has fever, we don't give them any food until the person is genuinely hungry, until the person has sweated out. Once the person breaks into sweat, that's when we give the person, the patient, some food to eat. We starve the fever. What do you do with cancer? Cancer cells. You starve the cancer cells. There are a lot of cancer patients who have actually said that fasting, even during chemotherapy and radiotherapy, and even during the other cancer therapies that they had to undergo, fasting actually helped them respond to the treatment protocols much better. And there was a patient who was on a diet of carrot and beetroot juice. This is a recorded, evidence-based, you know, research done on a cancer patient. When she was on a diet exclusively of carrot and beetroot juice, her markers completely changed. And she showed a remarkable improvement and recovery from cancer.
Yeah, we work with a lot, and cancer's always got kind of a, you know, each type has its own thing. So anybody listening to this, you know, each case is individualized, but there is good data that shows that healthy cells, one of the big issues is certainly if with modern treatments for it is that, you know, we negatively affect healthy cells. But when we go into a fasting state, a lot of the truly healthy cells can kind of go in this low metabolic state where they're not consuming a lot of energy. But cancer cells cannot do that. That's the whole idea of a cancer cell, is that it's going to continuously grow and use, you know, be metabolically active. That's what we look for. And so those cannot turn that off, and they get more negatively affected by the treatments, which is how, if we do use, you know, kind of fasting during those treatments, that a lot of the data shows the exact same thing. You have faster cell death in cancer cells, and you preserve healthy cells actually better than the people who don't participate in some version of a fasting or fasting mimicking program. It can be a really powerful way of, you know, damaging cancer cells, but preserving healthy cells.
Absolutely. In fact, when you are fasting, you're not feeding your cancer cells anymore. And then the body starts attacking the unhealthy cells for protein. That's when we ask the patients to also walk barefoot to ground that negative energy back into the ground. That released excess energy in the body is then grounded so that it doesn't cause anxiety or stress in that person. Starving your cancer cells, not giving it unhealthy, toxic, poisonous foods like sugar. If you really want good gut health, stop feeding it poison. Today I had a patient, you know, talking to me about their child's health, and I said, you need to clear out your alcohol cabin in the house. They're like, why? I said, it's called spirit. It's a negative spirit. It's called poison, the choice of poison. Nobody says, what's your choice of nectar? It's a choice of poison. Why would you drink poison when you know it's going to poison you? Whether it's one drop or one glass, poison is poison. So beat alcohol. Smoking for no reason, which is true for everybody. We smoke for no reason. all kinds of addictions. Excess protein intake. People have gone crazy over protein consumption. But if you actually go to the blue zones where the centenarians live, they consume very little protein. 95% of the diet is plant-based. It's a plant slant that they follow. They have equal amount of carbs and vegetables and very little protein. They do not read labels. They do not diets and fads. They don't go on a keto diet or a paleo diet or a GMO diet, you know, a GM diet or something of that sort. They don't do anything of that sort. They eat clean. They eat healthy. And they're in sync with nature. And they have a purpose in life, an ikigai.
One of the questions I had for you earlier, I've gotten this from a lot of people. And it seems like it happens more as we kind of go through aging, where they say they start to get a lot of indigestion when they're eating like salads and they're eating kind of leafy greens and some of those things. What's your answer to that? What should people who are experiencing that do?
You know, in Ayurveda, we don't recommend raw salads at all. And I am anti-raw food. The only two foods that can be eaten raw is, of course, your fruits and two vegetables, which is your carrot and cucumber. Because you can peel the outer layer. Unlike cows, we have only one stomach. Cows, herbivores, have four parts to their stomach. Their rudimentary health is very different.
Yeah.
They chew their food 40,000 times per day, 8 hours a day. That is 60 to 70 jaw movements per minute. And not only that, once the food is digested, they bring back the digested food back into the mouth and chew their food all over again twice. We human beings can't do it. Cook your greens. The invention of fire by mankind was to promote longevity. Human beings realized they were not able to digest foods. They invented fire. They started cooking their foods, pre-digesting it outside the human body so that the human body doesn't have to work too hard to digest, absorb, and assimilate those nutrients. Your ancestors discovered fire and the cooking process for a reason. Do not abandon reason. Do not abandon logic. Do not abandon practicality. Build on what your ancestors have already discovered.
Very good, Dr. Dimple. I have a few questions that some of our listeners shot out to us, and we'll kind of run through a few of these a little bit. I'll do them rapid fire. The answer does not need to be rapid fire. What are her best foods for improving gut bacteria?
Stewed apples, stewed fruits, raw fruits, chew them really well. These are the best foods.
What about supplements?
I'm not a big fan of supplements. It's like, you know, watering a plant but not giving it enough sunlight. You first need to increase your sun exposure, vitamin D absorption, versus artificially consuming it in the form of supplements.
For pain and healing in particular, I think everything that we've said, I'm going to caveat this, like we should still start there in my thought. If we're trying to help with pain and healing, we've got to reduce inflammation. We've got to get the body into some balance. So I think going back to what we were talking about, improving gut health and toxin release is still the best pathway through it. What would you add to that if somebody is trying to improve their healing or if they've dealt with some persistent pain issues in the past? Is there some different things that they should do activity-wise? Is there different things they should consume? Obviously, we all know of turmeric or curcumin and how powerful that has been. But what's your thought of improving the healing process with some of this?
You know, in Ayurveda, pain happens due to vata imbalance. Vata is basically air and space element being out of balance in your body. Leads to dry, rough skin, dried up frizzy hair, dry colon, constipation, diarrhea, IBS symptoms, dryness in the joints and the muscles and nerves, thus increased sensitivity towards pain. Right? How do you counteract that dryness? By having a lot of good fat foods in your diet, which is going to be plant-based, easy to digest, easy to eliminate.
Dr. Dimple, this has been fantastic. I've got more notes and I could ask you questions for like hours and hours. So I really appreciate the time. I appreciate the information. And Dr. Dimple, I have to ask you our question. There's so much in here that I'd like to give somebody something to take away. So if somebody's listening to this and they could do one thing today to improve their health, what would that one thing be?
Stop eating after sunset.
Well, Dr. Dimple, thank you for putting that out there. I agree with you. And I think people listening to quite practical and time-tested information that you're putting out there it is only going to make people healthier and at a very least make us question some of the beliefs and some of the thoughts that probably have been holding us back and got us into some of the situations health-wise that we're in today. So thank you very much for everything that you're doing. I know you're changing a lot of lives. Much appreciated.
Hey guys, if you like this episode, don't forget to leave a comment below so we can learn how to improve ourselves. Like, subscribe, and definitely share this with your loved ones, your friends, family, and relatives so you can become an influencer of good health in their lives. Until my next episode, here's wishing you unconditional happiness, love, forgiveness, kindness, empathy, compassion in everything that you do. Here's Dr. Dimple Jangra signing off.